to prayer. Lisbon, I would like to say this. Thank you for allowing us to hang out and be your pastor for the past 22 years. And we're not going to talk a lot about that today, but what we're going to talk about is, hey, we got to keep on with what God has already put in motion. We got to keep on with what God has what? Already put in motion. I don't know about y'all, but I plan on living as long as I can. How many of y'all plan on living as long as you can down here? That's about all I'm going to get at it. But guess what? And then after that, I'm going on to live on. I'm going on to live on. But in the meantime, church, I want us to stay focused. I want us to stay focused. It's kind of neat. You stay at a place a long time long enough, and all of a sudden you look up, and today I was walking around, and when I came here, those who used to be kids are now carrying their kids into the nursery. And I'm like, what's up with that? But I think that's pretty cool. So I want you to know, Betty Lois, that we've already gone through all the trends of church, hadn't we? We've gone through all the trends. I've seen all the trends, and I want to thank y'all for being real. If there's one thing, man, that is straight up, man, is Hillview is real. The Lord's blessed me. There's no doubt about it. He keeps Elizabeth with me. I wake up every morning. She's still there by the grace of God, you know. And so I look around and I say, you know what? Out of all the places, and I say this with a genuine heart, out of all the places I've preached, I can't wait to get back home to 3219 Nashville Road. Because Marty, I don't know any other place that can do kung fu and Jesus and karate all in the same place. Do you? That God can use whoever we are to bring out the power of the cross of who He is. And I just want to tell y'all, man, I thank God for you all. I thank you. You honestly share your faith. And can I thank y'all for something just on the side? P.S. Thanks a bunch. Thank y'all for not requiring me to be so religious. I just don't do good with being real religious. And, you know, I don't like Bible bumper stickers on my truck because it messes up the chrome on my bumper. And, you know, I just like being for real. And God's using this, and I just want you to know, if you're going to hang out at Hillview, or if this is your first day to check this place out, this is a real good sermon to just hear our bottom line. So if you'll go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's the bottom line of Hillview. Now think this, how in the world could this happen? Back in November, we set the preaching plan, and it falls on this scripture today. I wonder how things like that happen. The Holy Spirit drives us. Here's something different in Hillview. We're about you knowing Jesus, not us. We're not big on commercials and fanfare. We're big on this. May Jesus come into your life. May your sins be forgiven. And may you live. What's been interesting, in 22 years, not one time have I talked about growing the church. I've talked about the church going and tell the world about Jesus. Here's what we fully believe. If you don't meet Jesus Christ in a real and personal way, if your sins aren't forgiven and you aren't given a new life, then you don't live very long. I mean, if you live to 100, that's not very long compared to forever, is it? 200's not very long compared to how long? Forever. And so I just want you to know, I believe there's a forever. How many of you all believe there's a forever? Now, not everybody believes there's a forever, but I believe there's a forever. I believe the moment that I take my last breath here on earth, I believe the promise of Jesus Christ is I will be in His presence. You know, people ask me all the time, where will you be located? I said, in the presence of Jesus. And here's what I found. Wherever that is, I'm cool. You know, if it happens to be Duluth, Minnesota, but if Jesus is there, I'm okay with that. Amen? It can even be Detroit, but if Jesus is there, I'm what? When y'all ain't too sure about Detroit and Jesus, come on, I'm telling you, he's that powerful, okay? Where Jesus is, the presence of God. Now, it's about Jesus. And so, if you don't mind, here at Hillview, we like to involve the whole audience in audience participation. Because here's what we believe. We believe we're in this together. That's what I love about Hillview. I'm glad that y'all don't require me to stand up in a box and go, now, if you will turn the holy text to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We will start with verses 1 to 5 today as we exegete the passages. Y'all didn't know I knew how to do that. Yeah. I was trained. I just, it just don't work. I'm polished. I can be polished if I have to be. It just doesn't work. And you know what? I wanted everybody to have a church where they could hear about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that Jesus brings us to life. I mean, y'all glad to know Jesus brings us to life? You know, man, we had enough churches that left him on the cross. We needed some that needed to get him out of the grave. Amen. Not only did Jesus die, which is a very important moment, he resurrected, he came out of death into life. And I want you to know that's the driving story of our church. That only Jesus can bring dead things to life. So if you don't mind, if you'll whisper to somebody and just tell them, it's about living. If y'all pass that on down today, come on. It's about what? Let's hear the church talk. It's about what? Living. In fact, I love it today. Guess what? Crowd's a little slim today because we got people all over the world today telling people about Jesus. We got a group in Honduras. We got a group in Guatemala. Okay. Pastor Mark will be in Costa Rica next week. And so God's taking a church from Bowling Green, Kentucky, and using it to change the world. Crazy. And I want you to, I don't know why God does this, but he takes non-Spanish speaking people to reach Spanish people. It's cool. I mean, me in Costa Rica. Buenos dias. And they go, you're not from here, are you? How'd you guess? They always kid me. They go, Pastor Steve, you talk like Colombian. And I said, well, what's Colombian? They go, redneck Spanish. And I go, that's me. Because I'll go, buenos dias. And they go, not buenos dias, buenos dias. Yeah, that's better, wasn't it? They try to correct me. Finally, Robinson, when he was alive, God rest his soul, one day I was trying to get to the drugstore because I needed something. I said, we need to go to the pharmacia. He goes, not pharmacia, pharmacia. I said, I'm going to tell you one thing, Robinson. I'm fixing to correct your English like you do my Spanish. Get me to the drugstore. Isn't it great that we can have a great time in the Lord because Jesus is the Lord of what? All of us. I want to tell you something. I just want to tell you some things I'm thankful of at Hillview. Three main things. We've allowed Jesus to be Lord. I want to thank you all for not looking at everybody else's status, but for letting all people come in here. Thank you. It's the number one thing I love about our church, man. We got all kinds of people in here. I don't care where you come from. I care where you're going. How many of y'all have heard that message for 22 years? I am so glad to have a church. Watch this. I'm so glad to be a part of a church that no expert can explain. Isn't that cool? And number third thing I really want y'all to embrace and grab a hold of is here we don't listen to what they say. We try to hear what God says. And I want you to know that for as long as we're here on earth, Hillview will have those who oppose it, the they say people. It's been here since day one. They have said and God has said. And that's what I want to pivot the message on today. And as Paul begins to watch Jesus unfold this church in Corinth, and that's why we're going through the church at Corinth, Hillview unfolded here. I want you to know just a little bit of our history. And back in 1990, a long time ago, before there was iPhones, smartphones, when the internet sounded like, in ancient days, primitive society, prehistoric technology days, 1990, the experts looked at Hillview Heights Church, and the experts, and these were experts, and they were experts because they had learned demographics, they had done statistical research, they had gone to school and paid a lot of money so people would put alphabets in front of their names, and they were experts. And the experts looked into Hillview Heights Church and they said, with our expert knowledge and our expert understanding, we believe the best that you all could do is sell this church and move to another location. That's what they said. God had something else to say. Didn't he, Betty Lois? Betty Lois, I'm telling the truth. I'm not even exaggerating, am I? Because Betty Lois, one of the joys of my life, those experts now are coming in their early 70s. Some of the experts that were in their 50s, they're now in their early 70s. And I see them now and I say, hey, I just appreciate y'all's diagnosis on Hillview Heights Church. I said, it motivates me every day there. And they say, why? I said, because every day God does something great. He shows us how foolish our thoughts are compared to his commands. There's what God says and there's what we say. Isn't that neat? Now, remember, Corinth is the church fascinated by what humans can do. I'm glad we're not like that, aren't you? I'm glad that there aren't people today in churches that get caught up in light shows, fog, sound, arrangement, setting, color, and bright lights, aren't you? I'm glad that I don't have to go to church conferences and hear more about glossy photos than I do the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I wish that were the case. But Dwayne, you've been to some of those conferences with me. Church conferences talk more about what we can do than what God has said. And I just want you to know, don't get caught up in the lights here at Hillview. We got lights. That's cool. We got people who know how to do lights. I want you to know that Jesus' message was here before we had lights. I want you to know that Hillview Heights started with this. It started much like 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Y'all ready for this? Paul said, oh, by the way, I just want to thank Pastor Jamie. Man, did he not preach? I mean, he preached his little Ohio State heart out up there. I'm telling you, man. He busted and grooved, son. I listened to that sermon. I got saved twice in the first 15 minutes. I mean, that thing was on. I mean, God was blessing him. So we talked about people getting caught up in images. Hey, girls, listen. If y'all can get this right now, it'll be so cool in your lives. Now let's be straight up with me. I'm talking to Beth Ann, too. See, my sister. Have y'all ever got caught up in what somebody said about you more than what God has stated to you? Okay. I mean, I have, too. But people are always talking. How many of you all said people are always talking? And I do want to bring this up to you. People, if you're going to follow God, somebody else is going to talk about you. In fact, I would propose to you this. If religious people aren't griping about you, you're probably following them. I got some people in my life, I'm honest about this. I'm not going to tell you who it is because you might be here. But I run things by them just so they'll disagree with me so I'll know it's of God. I'm not lying. I got some religious people in my life. I mean, they're so pharisaical. And I run it by and I go, I think we're doing about that. Well, that ain't in the Bible. And if I get a hip groove on them, man, I know it's going to work. Because guess what? People said Jesus wouldn't work. The Pharisees said he wasn't the Son of God. They said that God wouldn't operate that way. They said that God wouldn't go to an old rugged cross. They said that there couldn't be a resurrection from the dead. They said people couldn't live forever in heaven. But God said, I have sent my Son to rewrite the story. Oh, come on. Now, here's what I love about Hillview. It even started on the weekend that the time changed. That ought to tell you from the get-go, 1991, March the 10th, it was going to be a crazy place. And it was going to be a place about changing with Jesus instead of doing the same old thing over and over and over again. This church started in 1957, long before most of you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye. You're not included in that, Larry, but most here, okay? And I'm not included in that, but most. In 1957, when cars with fins on the back of them were cool, when drive-in theaters, it was a big deal to get a kiss when you were 20, much less live together. This is how crazy the world's become in a short amount of time. And in this church, it had one mission to introduce South Warren County. This was South Warren County back then. When this church started, there was a drive-in theater right there. Okay, it was a drive-in theater. In this little church box. We call it the basement now. And they had one mission to show South Warren County Jesus Christ. That's all they thought about. And the church grew because they had one mission. Well, over the years, they started adding to that mission. And they added to the mission so much that they got themselves down to 30 people and about $500,000 worth of debt. Because you know what? Jesus doesn't need any accessories to his message. Ooh, somebody get that? Jesus' message is enough. It doesn't need any accessorizing. It's the complete package. Paul knew this. Here's what he said. When he came to the church at Corinth, he said this to him. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with elegance or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. I didn't come with the world stuff, is what Paul said. Now think about this. This is going to blow y'all away. Back in ancient Corinth, there were people who were impressed with people who could talk but had done nothing. Aren't you glad we've advanced over 2,000 years? They were called orators, and they would stand up and they would please the crowd with oratory ability. Watch this. How many of y'all ever check leaders before you buy into them? I always do. I go, what's the dude done? If they're talking about they're good with money, I want to check how good they are with their money. You know, that's what I love about Markel. When he tells you that we need to be tight, he's tight. He squeezes his penny and he squeezes the Lord's penny that the kingdom of God might be advanced. I like that. He's consistent, but guess what? The orators sometimes weren't consistent. I mean, y'all haven't heard anybody in our society that like says one thing and does another. I mean, y'all haven't heard of anybody that says like, hey man, we're in a financial crisis, but then spends a lot of money on their own personal enjoyment. Y'all have never seen anything like that go on, right? Have you noticed how all the late night, you know, info guys that watch this, you know who's making money doing what they're offering to do? They are. Because you're stupid enough to buy their CD without checking out their story. And nothing changed. A lot of people get wowed just because somebody looks good. Aren't you glad? What about the Hollywood crowd? How many of y'all get impressed with Hollywood? Somebody asked me, what's that show? What do they have, the Academy or something, a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night? Oscars or whatever it is, where they dress up and walk down the aisle to tell each other how good they are. What was it, Clasey? What was it? Academy Awards? Yeah, the Academy Awards. And if you watched it, that's fine. I didn't watch it because I'm just sick of it. Because you know what? Ask those people, what have you done with your life? I mean, we honor people. Listen, you don't have to do anything to be famous today. I don't want to call any names because I don't want to be mean to human beings. But I know some people and I go, how come, you know, Clasey, you know, keeps me up to the groove of society. And I say, Clasey, why is that person famous? I go, Dad, they're just famous. I say, well, what'd they do to be famous? Well, they're just famous. But how many of us are more impressed with somebody who's, quote, famous than we are with a God that's real? That's what Paul's trying to tell them. I didn't come to be famous. I came to tell you the story of Jesus. Here's what I love about Hillview. We're not famous. We're just church. I like a church where there's pickup trucks and Mercedes Benz all in the same parking lot. There's a Hummer and a Honda parked next to each other. There's a muddy truck and a clean truck. I even saw a smart car in our parking lot. Now, I thought we'd open the clown ministry back up, but it's just somebody saving the environment. You know, that's cool. Drive a smart car. I don't care who you are. I care who Jesus is in you. That's a different message, isn't it, brother? It's not about who you are. It's not about who I am. But it is about who Jesus is going to be in us. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, I didn't come to you like an orator with elegance and wisdom. But I came like this. I came and proclaimed to you a testimony about God. And what is that testimony? Look what he says. Here's the promise I want to make you. I'm going to preach Jesus. We've been preaching it for 22 years. Young people, thanks for showing up to listen to a Jesus message. You know what I mean? I know I don't have a cute little film clip to show you. And because, see, I got this really weird, crazy kind of understanding. I think after 21, really, I think after 18, if you're big enough to go take a bullet for our country, I think you're big enough to hear the gospel without clown music beside it. You know, I respect you all as young adults, not as kiddies. You know, and I kind of have this weird theory. I think if you're in your 30s and you don't have a job yet, I think that's problematic. I don't think you're creative. I don't think you're wonderful. Because I have to pay for your existence, which causes me to not be Christ-like. So I like to tell you the truth. I mean, I appreciate young people. I watched y'all come in today. These young university students, man, hanging out. Some of y'all coming back from spring break. I've watched some of you that graduated, got married a few years ago. I see y'all carrying these new babies in here, man. I see the power of God in your life. And guess what it brings me? When I'm dead and gone, this message is going to go on. That's what the church has got to be about. Because you know what? I'm going to be dead and gone. You're going to be dead and gone. But most likely, I'm going to be dead and gone for y'all. And so it needs to go to the next. To the next. It's crazy how quick life goes. I just know one day, I hope it'll be a little while from now, but one day I'm going to have some little old crumb snatcher grabbing my jeans again, going, pops, pops, pops. I'm going to go, you grab my pants one more time, I'm going to pop. And he'll have me suckered or she'll have me suckered. I'll look like Larry Mustard back there, just bewildered. And my kids will be looking at me going, how come you do that for them? You didn't do it for us. I was telling the truth. I didn't like y'all. I like them better. You know? It happens quickly, doesn't it? How many of y'all are older than you thought you would be right now? Yeah, me too. How many of y'all, this has gone quicker than you thought it was going to go? It seems like yesterday we were a whole church full of mullets in the wind. And now we've cut our hair. We were. I mean, in 1990, it sounded like, you know, Van Halen and Lynyrd Skynyrd were leading worship. We just took what we had and proclaimed the message that God had given us. But I want to tell you, here's what I found. Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected is enough for everybody that's ever been born to be changed forever and ever. Paul knew this. He said, I didn't come to you with presentation. I came to you with proclamation. Y'all please pray for the churches in America. And it's not I'm getting old. I was screaming this when I was young. There's a lot of preachers more caught up in how it's done than who it's done for. But I got some preacher buddies. I don't say none. I'm not going to give you the names. But I laugh every time there's a TV camera out there like this. I'm like, you stupid brother. How many of y'all ever had a stupid brother? My brother and two sisters have confessed they had a stupid brother. For y'all that are a little slow, that's me. But you know what? That's not about being on camera. What if the church was more concerned about Jesus being on camera than them being on camera? That'd change the world, wouldn't it? Curry, Paul knew this. He said, I didn't come to preach the ways of the world. I didn't come to give you a presentation. He said, I came to give you a proclamation. And here was his proclamation. You ready? He said this, I've come to preach Jesus what? Crucified. Go to verse 3. Verse 3 on the magic screen. Verse 3. It's coming. Y'all there yet? I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. That's what I felt like the first day I looked at Hillview Heights Church. How many of y'all have had to step into something new with great fear and trembling? Okay, let's look at some things that cause great fear and trembling. Kindergarten. How many of y'all remember kindergarten? Man, that's scary, man. You've been hanging out with your kids and your mom and dad take you to this place. It smells bad. Kick you off for half a day. You meet teachers and stuff. How many of y'all remember going to high school? That's a little fear and trembling, isn't it? Walk in the first day, see if you're going to be cool or not, if you're pretty or not, what all that jazz. How many of y'all remember college the first day? Was there some fear and trembling there? Anybody go to grad school? Some more fear and trembling? This is probably one of the scariest things. How many of y'all got married? Man, that'll sweat you out right there. I mean, you stand up at an altar. I was scared to death. I loved Elizabeth. Well, I thought whatever I thought love was. It wasn't nothing like I thought it was the first 5 years. And we both had these ideas, and something happened to them the first 5 years. And God brought us to understand it, kept us together. But it's scary. I'm sure Elizabeth, you weren't too scared, though, were you? So nice. Yeah, you wasn't real. I mean, you were not. It's not that you weren't bright. You were naive back then. That's the way I did it. I got you before you had understanding of who I was. Because I wasn't naive. You know what I'm saying? Your daddy, though, was apparently very alert because he was just up there bawling. I had great fear, and he had a lot of trembling. You know, I mean, there it was. But life is scary. I mean, when I walked out with Blake in my arms like that, here I am. Listen, this is how bad it was for Blake. I had a mullet when he was born. If he was conscious and could have looked at me, he'd have gone, oh, my God, my father has a mullet. How can he raise me? I had a tank top on. I still got a tank top because it's the coolest tank top I've ever made. It's a tank top and it's got a Conley ski on the front of it. Big water ski, big water weight coming up. I still wear it every once in a while. Looks a little different. I don't wear it in public. I wear it for Elizabeth when we have remember when night. You know? Kind of looks like I'm a biscuit now stuffed outside of it. I found it the other day in my closet. I have to check my closet because Elizabeth throws away my favorite t-shirts every once in a while. I told her, I said, Elizabeth, these are historic. I said, one day these will be in a museum. She don't understand that. But I look and I go, man, that went quick. Life moves through, but there's a message that stays in life. I want you to hear it. even though we might have some fear and trembling and weakness, here's what Paul said. When I find my tablet, I'm going to tell you exactly what he said. I'm looking for an exact verse. I wanted to get this exactly right. Let me tell you what he exactly said. I have come to you, not with the wisdom and the persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Because he preached one message. Listen to this message. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Does that sound like a place you know? Randy, before you and I had highlights in our hair. We started out and we got these young baby kids running around. What message were we preaching at Hillview? Y'all were here in the beginning. Cross and resurrection. How many of y'all have heard about the cross and resurrection here at Hillview? I mean, I make it this way. This is God intended, okay? If you go to hell from Hillview, it's your fault. Is it? Because I ain't standing on the day of judgment. You look over me on the day of judgment, and I'm going to look at the Lord, and I said, I'm going to tell them they were a sinner. They heard it direct. They knew that you were a Savior that died on a cross. They knew that you had risen on the third day, and they chose personally to deny your message. That's how serious this message is. And guess what? There's some people at Hillview, they go, Ayers is crazy. That really doesn't work that way. I don't believe the Bible. You know what I say? Good luck. Because here's what they don't believe. They don't believe one day they're going to look at God. Here's what I want you to know. Everybody's going to look at God. And here's what I love. No preacher's going to judge anybody. Isn't that cool? Can I give you all a heads up? The Lord has never spoken into my life. I told men's ministry this last week. Never one time, David Duncan, never one time in prayer has God gone, Pastor Ayers. He said, Stephen. Because you know why he doesn't address me as Pastor Ayers? Because pastors are irrelevant in the spirit. We're crazy, isn't it? Now, wherever Scarborough's sitting right now, he's never addressed him as a praise and worship leader either. Because guess what? The angels got that covered. He addresses us as followers. He addresses us, Michael, all the same. I mean, has he ever looked at you and said, oh, Michael, great praise and worship drummer. Has he ever spoken to you like that? Or is it always Michael? God's got a real weird way of calling you the thing your mother calls you. Yeah. I mean, the Lord's never said this to me either. Steve. It's always Stephen. Which scares me. So I've never heard the name Stephen without trouble being attached to it. It's usually my mother. Elizabeth says that sometimes. Law enforcement agents say that to me. These have not been good experiences. Makes sense? Now let's look. It's about the cross and resurrection. I'll give you three things we close up today. Paul said, I've only known this, Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. I am more wide open today than I've ever been for one reason. Guess what? I know if I'm gone from this place today, y'all are going to go on. In the beginning, it wasn't as so, but now it is. That you have been built up, you've matured in Christ. It's not about human wisdom. And listen, I love everything we do. What about those videos we've had the first year? Is that not cool? I've really enjoyed the videos, hadn't you all? Well, guess what? God sent us a guy that knew how to do all that. He was over here in Western. His nickname is Booba. His real name is Chris Young. And I just want to say his real name because I've called him Booba in places I should have called him Chris Young. But God gave him those gifts. He's over here at West Kentucky University. Hilltopper. Go Tops. And he's learning movie production. Well, nobody would realize that's so that he might proclaim the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. But guess what? He was faithful where he was so he could begin to proclaim the message where it needed to be. It's absolutely incredible kill. I mean, it's just incredible what God will do if you'll just let him loose. Here's my prayer for Chris. I told him the other day, I said, Chris, I am praying that God is going to use you to release the first non-hokey Christian film ever produced. You You know, Christian films always, they're hokey. They don't ever cuss where people really cuss. And see, my God's not scared of the real world. My God doesn't make things pretend to proclaim. He proclaims in the reality of darkness the light of heaven. Truly powerful. Pretty amazing, isn't it? I'm going to give you three things you got to do, and we're done. Y'all cool with this? Thank y'all for listening. Some of y'all been listening for 22 years. Now, if you ask me, Betty Lewis, what the next 22 years are going to be like, I have no idea. If you ask me who's going to be the Lord of the next 22 years, Clay, I can absolutely tell you. It's the same one of all of our lives. Teresa who? Jesus Christ. In fact, I talked to an old friend of yours, came up to me this morning. He said, my life would have never been the same, and I'd have never met Jesus Christ if I hadn't met Teresa Creek. And she brought me to church here a long, long time ago. See, we never know what we're doing, do we, Teresa? We never know. Do we, Sydney? He's been good, and we never know. How many of y'all, I got to preach this man. How many of you understand? You don't know. So don't judge one another, but proclaim who? Jesus crucified. Because here's three things you need to understand about the cross. The cross forgives you of your sins. How many of y'all are glad of that? And so since the cross forgives you of your sins, you got to receive the cross. You got to receive forgiveness. I mean, I'm saying, here's some motion to heal you. You got to receive. Guess what? People have been saved all day today. Some of y'all are here today to be saved. I think that's really cool. I'm glad to have a God that loves you enough that on Daylight Savings Day, Sunday change, he's still going to save you. That's amazing. Number two. Now, are y'all listening to me? I think it's really cool to help each other out. I really do. I think we need to guide each other. I think we need to coach each other up, and I think we need to help each other. Now, here's where it gets real stupid, though. No human being can change another human being other than Jesus. Is everybody cool with that? Now, here's where I get in a lot of trouble with my colleagues because they're in this new little thing. It's been going on for years. It's never worked one time. That if you get in a little group, get everybody accountable, your life's going to become morally wonderful. I was telling you what I've seen. It ain't happened one time. Because flesh can't make you better. Now, you need some brothers and sisters to hang with that'll tell you the truth, but only God can change your life. Let me show you about the cross. If you accept the workings of the cross, then you'll start looking more like Jesus along the way. So you got to receive grace, and then you got to accept Jesus' way. Amen? But you got to receive grace, don't you, Adam, before you can accept what? The ways of God in your life. I'm just letting y'all in on it so you won't be frustrated. They tried to make me holy in college. I hung out with a group for a while. They would ask me, they thought it was really cool if you got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and read your Bible. I did not have the same God experience that they did at 5 o'clock in the morning. I thought it was real stupid when you could get up at 7 o'clock and read the same verse. But they wanted to be sacrificial, and they wanted to tell everybody I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I wanted to say, it's because you're an idiot. It's not because you're holy. It's because you're dumb. But see, it sounds better, doesn't it? Sounds better than me. Hey, I read my Bible. I read my Bible late tonight. I love the Lord. I mean, it doesn't sound as impressive, but you know what I learned a long time ago? God didn't call us to be impressive. He called us to be faithful because really he's all that there is that's impressive. Pretty cool, isn't it? That's what I love about y'all. Y'all have learned to love you've learned to love and to live with each other in grace. We're a diverse congregation. We got all colors, shapes, sizes, and situations. Here's what Jesus said. If I be lifted up, what will he do, Leonard? How many? All what kind? All men unto me. He didn't say some men unto me. He said, I'll draw all men unto me. That's all different types. Isn't that cool? How many of y'all glad we all have a shot at heaven? Not some of us have a shot at heaven, but how many? We all, now not everybody go to heaven. Some of you today are going, yeah, I don't buy that. I believe what the Republicans say. Yeah, that'll get you to hell. I believe what the Democrats say. They don't even know what they say. How many of y'all found out we all say something different every day? And Jesus has said the same thing since the beginning of time. Isn't that cool, brother? Guess what he said since the beginning of time? first words are still in motion. Let there be light. And there was. And Jesus became the light of the world and is. And he's constantly proclaiming, will you receive the work of my cross? Will you accept my ways into your life? And then I'll give you the third thing you got to do with the cross. How many of y'all trust the cross to go on from here? I trust the cross to go on from here. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just going to be very honest with you. If I didn't believe the grace of God could save you, if I didn't believe if you accepted the ways of the Lord, you could change, and if I didn't believe you could trust the cross for you to go on, I couldn't be your pastor any longer. I got to do too many funerals here. It hurts too bad. If there was not hope beyond here, it eventually just hurt too much. But people go on and live with God, and we're going to see them again. That's a great promise, amen? That's a great reality. That's the great love of God. And Daisy, it still works. I remember you when you couldn't see over the drums. And then I remember when you couldn't see through your hair. And we had to put a fan in there so it'd blow it back so you could see the congregation. And I've watched God take you from a boy to a young man following Christ. You've changed along the way. Glory to God. And we will continue to change along the way. Amen. Mike, I remember when you and your lovely bride got married down there in Alabama. And now that adventure's gone on for 11 years. 11 years. People said y'all's marriage wouldn't work, didn't they? Didn't y'all meet on the internet? I mean, not you met holily on the internet. I want to be clarified here. But they said it wouldn't work, and it's still working. Senator Wilson, they said that Hillview would never grow. This would not be a church that reached people. It could never expand because it didn't line up with their demographic study. Not to put you on the spot, but there's some studies we have in other arenas that God may have something else to say. I'm glad you know that. I'm glad you know that God works the impossible. How many of y'all glad to know God works the impossible? The bet on me for being your pastor was 2.5 years. That was the bet among my colleagues. They said, Ayers won't last 2.5 years there. Sydney thought it'd be less. At times I thought it'd be less. I think one pastor here, he got fired within 6 months. So Betty Lois, I was trying to get past that. And look what happened. Instead of having a pastor in a church, we all just became church. And I think here's what we've learned. We follow him together, and we learn together, and we respect what God does in each other together. And that comes from three things. We've received grace from the cross. We've accepted God's way over our ideas. And we trust God to be the hope of the future. I think if we'll just keep doing those three things every day, that will unfold a future that makes an eternal difference in a lot of people's lives. What do you think? Pretty cool. So thank you all for being a church you are. Thank you for being loving. Thank you for letting me wear blue jeans and boots because I really just don't like those polyester dress pants. Thank you for allowing Elizabeth to be Elizabeth. I have a very smart wife that works well. I thank her all the time. So Elizabeth, thank you for using the gifts that God gave you. She was a female. She went to school. She graduated. Cum laude, sum laude, mum laude. And I know that there's a section of the Christian faith that believes the dumber you are, the more faithful you are. I just want to help you. You're really just dumb. It has nothing to do with faith. It has to just do with being dumb. And if you look at their lives, if you really look close, and the reason I'm looking at you young people, I want you all to start looking at people's lives and quit listening to people's rhetoric. If you listen to those people, you'll look at the fruit on their tree that comes off their life, and they got a lot of dumb fruit. Watch this. You know the most faithful thing you can be when you're a college student? If you're supposed to make an A, the most godly thing that you can do is make an A. And the most ungodly thing you can do is if you have that capability, use some kind of religious excuse or Bible study excuse for not making an A. God didn't send you to a university to go to Bible study. He sent you to a university to graduate. That's the gold of universities. Y'all be blown away. We didn't used to have student debt. Y'all hold on to your seats. You know why? We went to class and worked at the same time. We didn't go to school for 3 hours and play Xbox for 8 hours. We went to school for 3 hours, went to work for 8 hours, studied after that so that we graduated. We didn't have an overwhelming possibility. Crazy, isn't it? A lot of y'all do that. I see you doing that. Here's just what I want you to know. There's a lot more we can do, and don't get trapped in the rhetoric of the moment. Amen? Y'all heard anything today? You learned anything today? Most of all, have you heard from Jesus today? And have you heard what Jesus has said in your life today? As long as we stay there, God will do great things in our lives. Amen? Y'all are beautiful people. Jesus made you that way. A lot of y'all have changed a lot. Amen? I've changed a lot. I had people pull out in front of me now. And I don't do and say what I said 22 years ago. Hallelujah. It's improvement. Yeah. Pretty cool, isn't it? I can wave at people cussing me now. Before, I used to signal them international signals of mutual feeling. Today, I find that unnecessary. Besides that, you know, it could lead to a fight and I'd be sore in the morning. Life is greater than trying to fight one another. We ought to live in Jesus with each other. Amen. Y'all been great today. Thanks for 22 years of following the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want you to know, church, it's been amazing what's gone on here. From a church that wasn't supposed to grow from 30 people, she's become a debt-free facility because you all love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. You've accepted the ways of the cross. Those are the ways of God. Don't be subject to lenders. You've allowed God to free the place to do great things. This week, you got people in Honduras and Guatemala. Next week, you'll have people in Costa Rica. You've already had people in Africa this year, and we're not done with the first quarter yet. You've seen people saved, and God will just do His work if you'll just receive His grace, accept His ways, and trust His future. Amen? God bless you. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. I can't believe Celebration Sunday's almost over. But it's not almost over because there's an altar call. Some of you today were brought to church to be saved. Some of you today were brought to church to step into baptism. Hey, heads up, I'm going to blow y'all away. You ready for this? 3 Sundays from now, guess what Sunday that is, Garrett?
Easter.
Is that not crazy? It's an early Easter. So ladies, I just want to let y'all know, you know, if you're waiting for an April Easter, ain't happening. Early. Early. Easter's early this year. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. The greatest way we know how to do that is baptism. And there's still a lot of you that need to be baptized. And I want you to go ahead and get that taken care of. And listen, if you've received Christ, you need to come for baptism. That's neat, isn't it? It's a step of obedience. You come and talk to a pastor about that. I want you to pray today. I want you to come and pray. We got all of our Kentucky universities are out on spring break, the state universities. So you need to come and pray. You know what I pray for on spring break? How many of y'all ever went to spring break? You went somewhere on spring break when you were at the university. Did y'all go for Bible study or did you find some other things that went on during spring break? I'm just asking y'all. I found it difficult to walk in the ways of the Lord during spring break. I'm just going to leave it at that. I want you to pray for our students that God will bless them, God will protect them, God will bring every one of them home safely. Amen. And I pray that they also don't do things that, decisions that will last a lifetime. Make sense? May they have fun, but may they not be stupid. Is that fair enough? That's fair enough, isn't it? But I'm concerned. I mean, let's not tear up our next generation. Some of you today need to receive grace. Some of you need to come to this conclusion. You have sinned and God forgives. His name is Jesus. Same message Paul preached 2,000 years ago, plus I'm preaching right now. Still working, Robert. Some of you need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my what? Sin. Because He will. So, Pastor Ayers, you don't know what I've done. With all due respect to you, my friend, you have no idea what Jesus can do. So, Pastor Ayers, I've smoked dope. Jesus ain't scared of no dope. Pastor Ayers, I've been playing. He ain't scared of those places. You are. And with great fear and trembling, you come to him and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. He says, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Come follow me. Now, part of accepting his ways is doing the first thing he asks you to do. What's the first thing Jesus asks you to do after he forgives you of your sins? First thing. Come on, somebody said it. Be baptized. Is that right? But what do y'all want me to do? Lie to you? I'm going to tell you the truth. Jesus said, be baptized in the name of Jesus through the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Be baptized. Boy, Easter's a great day to be baptized. I want to challenge you to come and be faithful to that. Some of you need to come and just pray and say, God, I've been reminded today to not leave the message of the cross. Because sometimes I get wrapped up in everything else. Y'all pray for all of our churches. We got great churches in Bowling Green. Okay? Tell people to go to church. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them to get to a church. They don't necessarily have to be at Hillview. Y'all remember when I used to do Easter commercials? Who did I invite people to? Where did I tell them to go to church? I invited people to Jesus. You got it, Stuart. And then where did I tell them to go to church? Any church that's preaching Jesus crucified and resurrected. And you'll come see me and I'll tell you the four or five that aren't. We've got some churches here that don't preach Jesus crucified and resurrected. They all get in there and want a fuzzy on each other. I think it's about their universal experience of a higher power. Yeah, just try that one out on the day of judgment. It'll do real good. I'm afraid that's the down button on the elevator. We want you on the go on button. Amen? Well, let's pray. Come on. Lord, search the hearts and minds of the people here. Jesus, I know one thing. 22 years plus I've learned. I can't save anybody. I can't forgive anybody. I can't even forgive myself. But Lord, I know you can forgive all of us. So Lord Jesus, search the hearts, the minds, the souls, the reality of the people in this place. You have drawn them here and you have drawn them to grace. Those of you that need to receive Christ, you know he's drawing you right now. Just pray to him. Put it in your own words. Lord Jesus, I've sinned and I need your forgiveness. Tell him something. Lord, I've sinned and I need your forgiveness. He'll forgive you. Trust him. Lord, I receive your cross and your resurrection into my life. I'm tell you what, he'll save you right there. Just ask him to save you. And for those of you that have been following Christ, let's come and pray for people to be saved. Amen? Hey, look at me, man. I want to talk to you guys. I want to talk to you guys. I love y'all so much. Thank you for inviting your friends. Young people, thank you for showing up. I know I'm not cool. I know I'm not one of those cool pastors. Listen, Clacy tells me all the time. But I want y'all to know I don't care about being cool. I've never worried about being cool. Pew, when you were younger, you're still young, but younger, did I ever one time come to you trying to be cool? I came with what? Truth, that's it. I'm going to come at you with the truth. It doesn't taste good sometimes. It hurts sometimes. It offends you sometimes. You know what I say? Grow up. Y'all need a few leaders in your life that say, I love you so much as young people. I want you to become the adults God wants you to be. I don't want to be young again. It's your all's turn. I wouldn't want Elizabeth Ayers to be in her 20s for love nor money. Then she'd act like Clayfie. Be who you are in Christ, amen? Clayfie, the word is in Christ. Clacy will tell you this. Come and talk to Clacy about this. She went to school. Guess what? She looked church after church. Guess what she's looking for? She grew up in a cross and resurrected church. She even called me. She said, Daddy, would you agree that you exaggerate sometimes? I said, honey, I speak in high definition. I said, I was doing 3D speaking before they had 3D TV. She goes, I thought you were kidding. I said, what are you talking about? She said, I've been to several churches, and the last message I hear is the cross and the resurrection. I said, Clacy, old baby, I wish I had been exaggerating, but I'm telling you the truth. She heard how to be a good person. She heard about good morals. She heard about how to be wonderful business connectors. She learned how to be a political influencer. She learned how to be fashionable in Christ. And then the other, she just heard that it was fun and entertaining. Here's what's so tragic. None of that is the gospel. You know, we had that sermon, I follow Paulus, I listened to Paul. He's smarter than any seminary professor I have read or any recent contemporary Christian book I have observed. And every time somebody tried to follow him, he would knock them away from their leg and point them to the power of the cross. May we do the same, amen? And may we stay there. Hey, listen, the altar's open. It gets to be open. People get to be saved. People get to come to be baptized. People get to come and be healed at the altar. There'll be a day I can't open the altar, but it's not today. But there will be a day. So I'd get it done before the day comes when God says, guess what? All the altars are closed. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, nobody can open. Right now, the door is open, so come and be saved. Come on, guys, it's all open. Come and pray. Let's worship God. Let's have a moment at the altar. That's the way to celebrate. Let God change your life. If you need to be baptized, come and talk to these pastors. If you want to just come and pray, if you want to just come and hug each other at the altar, whatever you need to do, just let God speak into you. Come on. Come on, church. Come on.